It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. Time to cook up some Tuesday leftovers. Welcome into October. In my neck of the woods here in the swamp, today's high temperature was a lovely 95 degrees, and nothing says fall like, well, at least the heat index will be less than 100 degrees today. Yuck. Are you ready for some baseball playoffs? Well, October does mean the month that the lengthy Major League Baseball season for most teams has come to an end, and we start the beginning of a month long of playoffs. Unlike the NBA and NHL's playoff season, which lasts more than 2 months, baseball's 1 month playoff season at least seems reasonable. The top two finishers from the American League, the New York Yankees and Cleveland Guardians, and the National League, Los Angeles Dodgers and Philadelphia Phillies, are going to get the week off. Today, several best-of-three series are getting underway, and this week's winners will advance to the second round beginning this coming Saturday. In the American League, the Houston Astros face off with the red-hot Detroit Tigers. The Tigers are making their first playoff appearance in 10 years and were the hottest team in baseball during September in order to just make the postseason. The Houston Astros are no stranger to postseason baseball in the past few years. This season's team won the American League West and dethroned last year's World Series champion, Texas Rangers. The Astros seem to come alive for postseason games, so this best-of-three series is going to be quite interesting. The other American League matchup features the Baltimore Orioles going up against the Kansas City Royals. Like Detroit, KC was not expected to be a contender this year, but here they are. The Royals had an incredible 30-game improvement after posting more than 100 losses just a year ago. The Baltimore Orioles continue to prove that good pitching and timely hitting will take your team a long way. The Orioles won 91 games this year and finished just 3 games behind the top seed, New York Yankees. They're going to try to avenge last year's disastrous playoff appearance when the team was swept away by the Texas Rangers. In the National League, it's going to be the New York Mets facing off with the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Atlanta Braves are going up against the San Diego Padres. Play ball! Did you watch any of the President's Cup golf matches this weekend? They were a lot of fun. Though most sports fans probably did not watch last weekend's President's Cup golf matches in Montreal, that international team put up a big fight against the heavily favored American golfers. In particular, the entertaining tag team of the two South Korean Kims, Tom Kim and Siwoo Kim, absolutely stole the show last weekend. Those two golfers played with a lot of skill and passion, and they gained millions of fans around the world. This twosome was high-fiving, chest-bumping, and wildly celebrating birdie after birdie on Saturday's four-ball and foursome, which is alternate shot matches, as they went 1-1 on the day. And the large Canadian crowd chipped in as they loudly chanted INT, INT, for every birdie made for their international squad. Unfortunately, the cheering and crowd support was not enough to win the President's Cup. Sunday's final day of singles matches saw the U.S. team win 8.5 points to 3.5 for the international squad. The Americans have captured 10 straight President's Cups going all the way back to 2009. To football we go, and can you guess the two remaining NFL unbeaten teams and that one team that doesn't have a win this year in 2024? I'll give you a second to think. If you said Kansas City and Minnesota for the unbeaten teams, and on the losing side, Jacksonville, you are correct.
Yes!
Over the weekend, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Buffalo Bills, and Seattle Seahawks all lost their first game of the season and fell out of the unbeaten ranks. On the plus side, Tennessee finally won their first game of the year last night with a 31-12 win over the Miami Brother Can You Spare Us a Quarterback Dolphins on Monday Night Football. And coming up this weekend, my two favorite black and gold teams are going to have the national spotlight. On NBC's Sunday Night Football, the 3-1 Pittsburgh Steelers will travel to Dallas and play the 2-2 Cowboys. On Monday night, the 2-2 New Orleans Saints will visit 4-0 Kansas City as my Houdats will attempt to hand the first loss of the year to the two-time defending NFL champions. Monday Night Football will kick off at 7 p.m. on ESPN, but if you might enjoy hearing Peyton and Eli Manning cover the game instead, go over and check out ESPN2 this coming Monday night. Yesterday, we lost basketball's Dikembe Mutombo. Legendary NBA shot blocker Dikembe Mutombo is probably best known for a hilarious Geico insurance commercial about 10 years ago. You might remember this one, as the happy Mutombo was wagging his finger as he swatted away a wadded-up piece of office paper heading for the trash can. And then he later swatted away a box of cereal with a big grin as a youngster was trying to toss it into the grocery cart with his signature, "Not today!" The 7'2" basketball fan favorite died on Monday at age 58 after battling brain cancer for the last 2 years. He was one of the NBA's really good guys and beloved on and off the basketball court. Also on Monday, Major League Baseball legend Pete Rose passed away at the age of 83. For those of us lucky enough to have grown up watching Pete Rose play pro baseball, we'll always remember Charlie Hustle as he sprinted to first base after every hit or walk. The name was given to him by New York Yankees legend Mickey Mantle, who was amazed at how this young Pete Rose was such a fiery competitor every game. A 3-time world champion and 17-time All-Star choice, Pete Rose is best remembered for his years playing for the Cincinnati Reds. With a career which spanned from 1963 all the way to 1986, Pete Rose remains baseball's all-time career leader in hits with 4,256. Rose finished his career with a batting average of .303, not too shabby, and he won Major League Baseball's Rookie of the Year in 1963, the Most Valuable Player in 1973, and the World Series MVP award in 1975. He will be missed. Now let's give you a sports media update. DirecTV is buying Dish TV. On Monday, DirecTV formally agreed to buy Dish, their biggest satellite television competitor. DirecTV, which was formerly owned by AT&T but now under the control of a private equity firm known as TPG, has about 11 million customers, and Dish had dropped all the way down to 6.1 million subscribers. Now, both of these satellite television providers have been losing customers for several years. They have not done themselves any favors by getting into disputes with many local television stations around the country about how much money that local TV station had to pay to be shown on their systems. In some disputes, you might remember, a local TV station had been kept off DirecTV or Dish for up to a year or more until an agreement was finally reached. EchoStar Corporation, who is the parent company of Dish and also the owner of Boost Mobile Telephone, will assign about $9.5 billion in their long-term debt over to DirecTV's owner just to take this thing off their hands. The combined entity is going to have more than $20 billion in long-term debt, which eventually must be repaid. DirecTV said that this proposed combination will create an option for smaller, more affordable content packages with more streamlined, one-stop shopping for entertainment. I was surprised to learn that nationally known internet television service provider Sling TV is also owned by Dish, and they will become part of this transaction as well. Over the last decade, the Federal Communications Commission suggested that they would not permit this type of combination between the two top satellite TV providers. But with diminishing market shares and a proliferation of additional options for home television viewers, this proposed DirecTV and Dish combination might just likely be approved by federal regulators soon. Finally, Northwestern State University and Stephen F. Austin are going to bring back the Chief. These two Southland Conference members are separated by only 110 miles. Their annual football matchup featured one of the most unique trophies in all of college football. Chief Cato was a 7'6" wooden Indian figure, tribute to the local Cato Nation tribes, and he weighed more than 300 pounds. Since 1960, the winner of the Northwestern State Demons and Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks football game was able to keep Chief Cato at their school for the next year. Well, SFA left the Southland Conference a few years ago, and the two teams did not play football regularly. Until this season. In 2024, Stephen F. Austin has returned to the Southland Conference once again, and their long rivalry with the NSU Demons has been renewed as well. A new wooden trophy called The Chief was designed with the two universities conferring with the leadership of the Caddo Nation Indian tribes to incorporate them into the new reward for the winning team. Still standing 7'6" tall, the new trophy will feature a pitchfork at one end for Northwestern State and an axe on the other end for Stephen F. Austin, and the scores from every game will adorn the new traveling trophy. The winning team will display the Chief at their school with the winning logo facing upward and the loser facing down. Well, this Saturday night at 7 p.m. at Homer Bryce Stadium in Nacogdoches, Texas, the 2-2 SFA Lumberjacks are going to take on the winless Northwestern State Demons. And the Chief will be in attendance and heading home with the victors. In case you might have been wondering about the location of that original Chief Cato, he's rumored to be residing in a warehouse somewhere on the Stephen F. Austin campus. And when pressed about the retired trophy's whereabouts, an unofficial line going around the school this week was something like, "Don't ask, don't tell." I'm Swamp Swami.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.